Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
It is a brand new episode of Flyers Daily for the 26th of August, 2024. Flyers Daily, as always, presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. It is a Monday, so we got great conversation ahead with you, Noam, from PhiladelphiaFlyers.com, NHL.com, and HockeyBuzz.com. All around good guy. It is Bill Meltzer. Bill, how are you winding down the summer here?
Well, it was just gorgeous weather outside today, so enjoyed, you know, a little bit of that. Caught a little bit of the Phillies game. They've actually discovered their offense the last two games. So, yeah, pretty pleasant Sunday. How about you?
It's been good. I'm getting to the point now where we're really winding down the month of August. I saw Elliot Friedman put out a tweet saying, I'm trying to go dark for this week because, you know, when September hits, that's when things really start to pick up. All the players are usually in their NHL cities and semi-organized skates begin to take place, albeit without coaches. But we're getting really close to rookie camp, and we're just a couple of weeks, really, from this Friday coming up, from the rookie games in Allentown. And I know the rookie showcase is there as well, where people may get a chance to get a look at Matvei Michkov and Ivan Fedotov. I know you wrote about it.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool event. It's not a rookie's game. I think sometimes people, you know, don't understand that. It's really a lot like media day works that the Flyers and other teams do. So, you know, the players have their trading card photos taken for Upper Deck, some video, some interviews and whatever. But really, it's the first time right before camp that a lot of these players are photographed in their NHL team uniform, you know. And it's a pretty cool event. It's developed pretty nicely over the years. And, you know, it went on kind of a hiatus for a couple of years during COVID. So, you know, a couple of guys like Cam York and Morgan Frost never got to do it just because of COVID. But I'm glad Matvei Michkov is there. And actually Fedotov is there too, because it's a different kind of a setup, because, you know, Fedotov doesn't qualify as a rookie under NHL rules, but that doesn't matter for something like this. It's his first NHL season. Hasn't had a hockey card yet, that kind of thing. So really, that's what it's for. But it's pretty cool. And there's some pretty cool interviews, too, that come out of it.
Yeah, and it's a great experiential thing for those players as well, especially guys coming over from Russia. Bill, I kind of started to dip in on Friday into some bold predictions from the season. We've kind of gone through, you know, the programming for the summer with exit day and then development camp conversations. We did the top questions heading into this season. And as we wind down the month of August, starting to look at some bold predictions, and we're going to get to some from Flyers Twitter or Flyers X, I guess, whatever you want to call it these days. But I want to run the three by you that I rolled out on Friday. And my logic when I'm making a bold prediction is, you know, there has to be some data behind it, some gut feeling behind it, and some well, you know, positioned reasoning why it can happen. I can't just come on here and go, Matvei Michkov is going to have 104 points this year, you know, and just blind optimism. You got to have some logic behind it. The first one I came up with is that Travis Konecny was going to lead the team in points this season, and that I set the over-under at 73.5, and I said over. I predicted precisely 75. Yeah. And my reasoning for that was because per 82 over the last 2 years and under Tortorella, if you took all his points in those two seasons and extrapolated it to per 82, it'd be 77.7. So there's some logic there. And then I also hearken back to the last time that he had to sign a contract, because he didn't get a full belly when he signed his deal and slack off. He had his best season to date in 1920 at that time as well.
Yeah. Obviously any one of these bold predictions are always predicated on certain assumptions going in. For Konecny, it's a healthy year. Pretty much for anybody, it's going to be a healthy year. Yeah. But, you know, he's missed some time the last two seasons. I think that certainly is, you know, I think it's ambitious, but it's reachable. And really, I think that's really where you go with bold predictions, is that a lot of, you know, things have to come together, but it's attainable.
Yeah.
And I think 75 points for Konecny is attainable. I might even stretch it, a really bold prediction, if he plays all 82 games, like 78 points, kind of, yeah, you know, in that range. I, you know, it's doable.
He had 61 2 years ago in 60 games. Yeah. He had some weird injuries that year. He only missed a few games last year, not as many as the year prior. But, health definitely going to play a part in it. The second one, Bill, was that Owen Tippett would lead the team in goals. He won't lead them in points. I have Konechny doing that. But Tippett's knocked on this door of 30. He should have had 30 by now, frankly. His shooting percentage was down a little bit last year, I think at 9.7, 11.7 the year prior. But he fired a ton of shots last year. We said shoot more, and he did, and he hit the net more. But my prediction for him was an over-under of 34.5 goals. And if the power play minimally improves, and I'm hoping it's more than that, I think you could look at 36 goals from Owen Tippett.
It certainly has the talent. I wouldn't stretch it to 40.
Yep, but not there yet either.
I think an over-under of 35, that'd be a career high. A nice bounce for him, going into the prime of his career at this point, 25 years old.
Yeah, be 26 in February. Yeah, perfect time.
Yeah, so it's really the time for him to make the move if he's going to make that move. And, he had a concussion 2 years ago, but sometime early in the season, for the most part, he's been pretty healthy. He creates so many of his own goals. So I think if he focused a little bit on getting open and not having to carry the mail end to end so much, yeah. I think that's attainable. Hitting the target a little bit more consistently. You're not talking about a big jump. I think that's reachable for him. And to dovetail into that, because obviously a piece of that is the power play. It'll take an improved power play here, but I would say a Flyers power play of 18%, which still puts him in the bottom half of the league.
Yeah.
And actually the bottom third of the league probably. Yeah. But that's it would still be a big jump from 12.2 up to 18. So if the Flyers could get to about 18%, Tippett could certainly reach that. Forster, guys who play put a lot of power, but Beechkov, Frost, those guys, they could all have pretty good point totals if the power play can be even halfway decent.
Yeah. But is the one thing with Tippett, I'd like to see Tippett play with more of a recognition that he can dominate a game, that he can dictate the terms, especially in the neutral zone and the offensive zone, so well. I feel like sometimes I watch and I feel like I can see a lack of confidence sometimes. When he has confidence, you see, just the crazy, some of the things that he'll be willing to do and how creative he'll be as a playmaker. But when he has crisis of confidence, I'd like to see just a kind of that would be my message to him as a coach. You can be a dominant player. You got to go out and think you're a dominant player. Is that kind of what you see with him?
Oh, for sure. For sure. He's not shy about shooting the puck at all. But I do think sometimes I go back to something that when we've said this on the podcast before, something that Mike Yeo said a couple of years ago when he was first coaching Tippett, and Frost as well was also directed at him. When you're particularly a younger player, it's so easy to kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
And when things are going well for the team, you go well. It's really when you're struggling, you need that goal that turns the game around. It might not go as the winning goal, but it goes a tying goal. But something that just gets your team going. I'd really like to see Tippett be that guy.
Yeah.
Score more first goals of the game, those kind of things. And totally within his reach to do that. And a big piece of that is just, taking an ownership. This team is this is one of the guys. One of the guys, this is our team, my team, whatever, on a given night. We've seen bits of that. If he gives you that more often, then it's not even so much the goal total. It's more games where it's 1-1 or whatever. So something that can really swing within a game, and fewer of the games, kind of like the one in Montreal late in the season, where the numbers look good at the end of the game, but really nobody showed up until it was way too late in the game. And that's not about Owen. That's about everybody.
Yeah.
But just some of that situational stuff where he puts the team on his back, he's capable, and I'd love to see it.
I don't know what, like, you can't quantify like swagger or confidence. Yeah. You know, you know it when you see it. But I'd like to see him develop a little bit of swagger. I'd like to also see him, you know, initiate contact a little more too, because I think he's just so big and strong and powerful. Yeah. I think that would be to his benefit. The other one I came up with, Bill, was right in the Michkov wheelhouse. And, you know, I don't want to put, we've talked about this, we don't want to put too much expectation on Matvei Michkov, but I did end up coming up with a stat line, but I did say that, you know, he's going to win the Calder. And there was a couple of reasons why. I think last year for him in the KHL was very noisy. You know, obviously where it started out and not playing and being scratched and in Rottenburg and then getting loaned to Sochi, a team that wasn't very good. And then obviously what happened with his father passing and the pneumonia, just a lot of noise. And this is a guy that to me just looks like an entertainer, like he wants to entertain. And I don't think he's going to be put off by the spotlight at all. I think he's going to relish it. I think he's going to know, yeah, my name's on the side of the building and all the billboards and everything else, and I'm cool with that, because he's one of those players that puts your butt in a seat but also gets your butt out of the seat because of what he can do. So, I mean, there's some stiff competition. I look at Stankoven in Dallas as a guy that is a little bit more, you know, up there in years at 21 and had a huge year in the AHL and saw a little bit of time in the NHL last year. And, you know, obviously, you know, Macklin Celebrini, there's going to be good competition here. But I think that he's in position to come in this year with a lot less noise of ancillary type and come in and really dive deep into hockey and have a great year and put himself on that Calder.
Well, we were talking about the confidence level and putting stuff on your shoulders. He's not afraid to put stuff. Like, yeah. He wants that mantle. So it's one of those things you kind of can't teach. Sometimes it comes over time with confidence, but he wants that pressure. No one's going to put more pressure on him, I think, than he puts it on himself in terms of expectations. He expects to play at a very high level. It's hard to come in when it's hard, you know, as a teenage player. That's a pretty lofty prediction. Stankoven was the guy that I had.
Yeah.
Probably I think has the inside track to win it going in.
58 points in 44 AHL games last year.
Yeah, and remember, the Flyers have never had a Calder. Not even Bill Barber. Michael Renberg had an 83-point rookie year. He didn't get it. So it'd be a mighty big – even if he's in the tie of the running as a finalist, I think that'll be a huge thing for him.
Did they not have it in Hexie's rookie year?
So they had it in Hexie's rookie year. Luke Robitaille won. Hexie won the Vezina. But he didn't win the he won the Calder that year. Yeah,
Robitaille had a monster year.
Yeah,
with the King, I remember. Yeah, very interesting. Well, we'll see if he can do it. Bedard last year, and obviously those two were taken in the same draft. Played in 68 games, got pushed around a little bit, but he ended up with 22 goals, 39 assists, 61 points, but a -44 playing for that Blackhawks team. So. We'll see where it goes for Michkov. Bill, let's get to some of the Twitter predictions. I think Steve was messing with us when he said that Zamula is going to win the Bobby Clarke Trophy. I'm going to be interested to see where Zamula even kind of fits on this blue line. Andre Kam.
Yeah, I mean, going in right now, I think a third line or a third pairing spot rather is his to lose. Right now, it's his. But he's going to have competition, whether it's Adam Ginning, you know, whether it's maybe Emil Andre, if he has a big camp. Adam plays the other side, but if he makes a run, then they're moving pieces around. So there is competition. Nothing's going to be handed to him. And he certainly had moments last year, but he didn't come in and nail it down to where you go in and you write that name in pen. So there's a lot of competition for him. I like some of what I saw. I'd like to see more consistency, but you know he's not exempt from waivers anymore.
Yeah.
So he's in the NHL, or you know he might be somewhere else at some point. So big year for him. And playing on a third pairing has the advantage of there's no such thing as easy matchups in the NHL. I hate when he says, well, you got easy matchup. If you're in the NHL, there are no easy matchups. But they're not as difficult as when you're playing against other teams' top lines every night. So there will be opportunities for him. I'll be interested to see – I'll be interested to see, first of all, how Rasmus Ristolainen is health-wise.
Yeah.
But also see how they might gel together as a third pair, because the top four, at least going in, seem pretty set. So that's there's definitely – that's one of the battles in camp to watch. That's where I think there could be some movement in terms of depth chart from the beginning of camp to early in the season, and we'll see, take it from there. So big season here, big camp for Zmula.
And obviously he and Mishkov have kind of hit it off already. Saw some pictures of Matvei's brother, his mother, and Yegor Zmula as well. And he'll be a big resource for Mishkov as well, you know, helping him with the language and all of those things. One of the guys that had some help with the language when I first sat down with him, Ivan Fedotov, Bill, Denis Gurianov, I should say, sat in and did a little bit of translating, tried to explain to him what I was asking on a few occasions. Yeah. But our next bold prediction comes from AP, Provolone22 on Twitter, and he says, Fedotov ends up being the starter by the end of the season. I don't even know how to handicap it. I said up front when I started my bold predictions that I would make no bold predictions about goaltending because it's such a big question mark. So, you know, that's a bold prediction, but it's kind of pulling a little bit out of a cloud because there's not really much data to support it unless you look at his international numbers.
Yeah. And sat out a year, didn't really have – we throw out the last – the little sample of the Flyers at the end of the year, but didn't have a great year coming back. But that was kind of expected after missing a year. Kind of an older player coming over at be 28 early this season. I don't know. I have no idea what the Flyers have in him. Is it possible that he unseats Ersson? I honestly think that would be not a great sign if that happens for the team. Now, if he comes in and does what Roman Chikmanek did at age 29, well, phenomenal. But I'm not expecting that. So, you know, not impossible, but I'm not expecting it. And we don't know what the depth is going to look like behind him.
Yep.
In the year and beyond. But you know, as the next year or two, by the time his 2-year contract is up, you have a better sense. Is Bjarnason ready for the AHL? You know, is he ready to take a number one job? What's his timeline? I think it's going to be a while till Zavragin comes over. We never know, but a few years till he's over. He'll probably need a year in the American League when he comes over too. So this is the window of opportunity, both for Sam Ersson and for Ivan Fedotov. Two still largely unknown quantities. I don't have predictions for either one of them.
I thought it was interesting. Elliot Friedman, as I mentioned him earlier, did put out a 32 Thoughts written column. And I guess that it was the European junket that they had. And he said he asked all the players that he met with what was one thing they could change about the NHL. And he said two goalies answered the question to get rid of the shootout. It was Sam Ersson and Nuka-Pekka Luukkonen. And I thought that was odd because Sam's really good in the shootout.
Yeah.
He's above like the career save percentage in shootouts since it's been instituted in the NHL is .679.
Yes.
People think that the shooters score way more than they do. Goalie still has the advantage. And I think Ersson's about at .790, if I recall, his shootout save percentage. But he's one of the better ones at it, and he wants it gone.
Yeah, that is really interesting. You know? So it's not a question of success. It's just a question of not liking it.
Yeah, you don't like that. I don't like it either. I don't like the games get determined on that, or the extra point gets determined on that as well.
I would say, just real quick, you want to make a change in the shootout, and I know a lot of goalies would like this change. Even if they want to get rid of the shootout entirely. Is somehow tweaking, or guys coming so slowly they almost come to a stop.
Yeah.
They're barely moving, and then they go and score. I mean, Flyers have scored some that way.
It's, yeah.
It's not a sour grapes thing that just worked against the Flyers a bunch, but goalies hate it.
Yeah. Because so. You're trying, as a goalie, you're trying to flow with the player, and as his speed is coming to a crawl, it's hard to do that. And when you lose momentum as a goalie, you can't reinstitute it like a skater can quite as easily, because you're just so heavy on the balls of your feet to anticipate a move. You're in a reactionary position. So huge advantage when the players do that. I hate when they come in that slow. Can't stand it. So put some kind of 6-second shot clock on it, or minimum speed, and they have to abide by that. I'm all for it. Lee tweets in at Flyers and 1953 and says, any PTO contracts for the upcoming camp? I don't think we've seen anything yet, Bill, but I guess anything's a possibility. Flyers, I don't know that they can fit a lot, that there's a real opportunity with a couple of Euros that they signed earlier in the offseason. I just don't know that it's a destination, unless you're doing somebody a favor to put some foam out there in preseason games.
Yeah, I think that the Flyers at least are looking at some guys that are still out there as free agents. For the kind of feedback I've gotten, is the agents are still waiting to see if that 1-year deal comes in from somewhere, or there's a PTO, they see an obvious fit where there's really an inside track to win a contract. So I would certainly say it's not impossible, because the Flyers are looking at some guys. But I'd say it's less than 50-50 that the Flyers have a PTO guy. Now they are from what I heard, internally, they are bringing in a Finnish goalie, not for an NHL contract, but a guy who's more depth for the AHL team, potentially 25-year-old goalie, Nakaniemi, who was a pretty good prospect for San Jose, actually got in a couple games with the Sharks, had some injury issues, is kind of working, trying to work his way back to the form that he had before. But he's that's the guy they might take a look at, and also to see how everything kind of plays out with Kolosov. And but that's another option, a non-contract guy who might be coming in looking for some kind of a deal, but not an NHL deal right off the bat. So, I think when you look at what's out there, I think there might be a center or two that are still out there, all older players. You know, or a bottom six kind of guy who might be able to come and fit in. They didn't get a contract. So it's possible.
Let's go to Andrew tweets in and says, he's got, four bold predictions here. So we'll rattle through them one at a time. Sure. That Forster scores 35 goals this season on a line with Mishkov, plus a functioning power play. He may start on a line with Mishkov. But to you, Bill, it's very rare that two wingers stay on the line for the entirety of a season. Maybe a winger and a center sometimes will stay together, and that 30s kind of rotates. But I think that we will see at some point a pretty decent sample size of Forster playing with Mishkov this year, and that could be really beneficial to him.
It could. I wouldn't go that high on a prediction.
No, I'm not there.
Even in the American League, he had 20 goals, and he's capable of it, right? He's capable of developing into a 30-goal guy, maybe hopefully even more as he develops. To jump from 20 to 30, that's a really big jump after 1 year in the league. So
it took Konechny a number of years to get to 24, Bill.
Exactly. I go in the middle. A 25-goal year for Forster. Just continuing to do all the other things he did, to me, that would be a really nice second year.
Andrew also says Drysdale plays like Sean Walker did last year and solidifies the second pairing. He'll be playing along with Nick Seeler, likely on that second pairing, Jamie Drysdale. And obviously Seeler was on that second pairing with Walker last year. There's some similarities to Drysdale and Walker, and there's some key differences as well. I don't think any of us saw what Walker was going to be last year going in. I certainly didn't. But if you can really solidify that second pair to be the strength that it was last year, then that's a huge element. That's a question mark coming in for my money.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that John Tortorella emphasized last year, and it caught me a little off guard when he said it, but I understood it. He said that he really wants Drysdale to be more of a rover type. You know, so you're gonna when you're out there playing like a rover, you're gonna sacrifice defense. I mean, he still has a lot to learn off the puck anyway. Certainly he could bring a lot of points if he can master playing that way and figure out the defensive system and not cheat so much he's killing you defensively. I still think there's a lot of adjustments to go, particularly after how much time he's missed so far in his career. He's had miserable luck with that, where first there was COVID. That's why he was in the NHL so quickly.
Yeah.
He was in the NHL before he was ready to be in the NHL. And he's playing on a not great team, right? And then injuries the last 2 years. So I don't think we've really seen what he can do, just flashes of it. But when the Flyers had that little one of the little oases in the desert, you know, as bad as the power play was, he was off in the middle of it. When they did have like little surges in the power play, he was involved in his fair share of that. So I think you're looking for more building blocks, and by all means, stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Andrew, we already kind of tackled this as Tippett scores 30, but seems to have hit his ceiling as a good 55-60 point secondary player. But Andrew did say goaltending struggles. Flyers are still a lottery team. I can't argue with that bold prediction because I don't know. I don't have a great feeling on it. Let's get to this one that came in via email, Bill. This comes to us from Joseph DeAngelis. He said he thinks the Flyers' power play is going to improve to over 19% efficiency. He said last season, as it went along, the Flyers showed improvement in some intangibles necessary for a good power play, clean zone entries and puck possession. He said, I think the mistake the coaching staff made last year was they did not keep the first and second PP units together. I felt like at points they did obtain the zone better, Bill. But for my money, the problem wasn't obtaining the zone. It was being on the same page once you were in there. That's where kind of the fire drill looked like it was happening.
Yeah. I think they need some kind of a bumper presence and or net front presence. You can move the puck around the perimeter all you want. But you don't have a point threat like Chris Pronger once was, or now McInnes. You really have to fear that guy from the point. I think that short of that, particularly the way the power play is run today, I think you need that. You need the bumper guy, and getting the puck to them and finishing once you're down low. I think they're actually okay in terms of distributors. I think they have guys that can pass and set guys up in decent position. Talked about Forster and Tippett. A little bit more consistency finishing from the flank, that would help. And again, getting a guy that can get to that area around the hash marks of the slot, your bumper guy. And if you do get the puck to the net, finishing in close. That's that to me is the key towards a significant improvement, and not just stretches where you remember the Flyers last year from right after Christmas until February, they had about a month or so in there where they were at about 19% over that stretch, which just tells you how dry the other stretches were to finish at 12.2. So
I think they scored power play goals in like four or five straight games at one point in that stretch.
Yeah, they did. And you need to see a lot more of that. And I do agree that you need some consistency in personnel. I thought they move guys around. It was almost like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if anything would stick. I think you had to define whose role is what and try to make some of those pieces fit within those roles. I think that would at least be progress. I'm not expecting miracles to where the Flyers are going to jump up in the top half of the league. But certainly I'd like to see some tangible progress.
One of the other ones that Joseph said in his email, he said, bold prediction, this will be Tort's last season behind the Flyers bench. Brad Shaw will be the next head coach of the Flyers starting in 2025. Tort's will move into a senior advisor role. He said, I really believe Bradshaw is ready to finally get a crack at a head coaching job. Such a smart guy, and I'm rooting for him. Bradshaw actually did have a head coaching job back in 05-06. He coached 40 games with the New York Islanders. This is a bold prediction I don't agree with, not because I don't agree that it might be Torts last season, but that Bradshaw's next guy. And it's not because they don't think a lot of Shaw. I just don't know that they think of him as a head coach. You've had a chance to talk to Bradshaw. I have as well. He's incredibly intelligent. Yes. A coach sometimes, it's not that he has to be unintelligent or a lack of intelligence, but they have to be very succinct. And I don't think that's maybe Bradshaw's strength as a communicator.
Yeah.
And to me, he's a great assistant because of the way he can teach and not have to be the bad cop along with that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you look at, you know, some of the guys like McCarthy that goes with Lavi everywhere, right? You have those kind of guys. And to me, he might just be an assistant NHL coach.
Yeah. I mean, Bradshaw, as you said, is very cerebral, very thorough. One thing that Tortorella has said is that being together so many years with Shaw, one of the things that he's had to learn is not to throw too much information at one time.
Yeah.
Keeping it short and to the point and one specific point. Because he knows so much about the game and particularly about playing the defensive position, and he wants to share that knowledge. I think it's kind of now or never because Shawzy's now in his 60s. So if he does, but you could stay as assistant coach for a long, long, long time and be successful, which he has been. Yeah. I kind of liken him to a little bit like Craig Ramsey. Ramsey was an assistant coach under some very successful head coaches for a long, long time. Was a great assistant coach. Really was not a head coach for very long, but he was better as an assistant. And I think, at least by reputation, I think that's the rep that Shawzy has too.
Yeah, I could. We've mentioned that I could see if a guy like Mike Sullivan would be like Owen Pitts with a handoff happening like that. Let's get to one more here. This comes from McPoll 72. Says Scott Laughton will be traded at the deadline. That's his bold prediction. Him or her. First of all, are you surprised that Laughton's still here?
A little bit, but I don't know. So sometimes it seems like these guys that are in so many trade rumors, you know, staying, you know, A, because A, teams want them, but B, some of these guys are hard to put a value on that matches. Because contending teams, you know, want Scott Laughton. There's no doubt about that. The Flyers have had offers. Okay, so what is an offer when you put the tangible pieces and the intangibles together? What's a fair trade to where a team is matching your need? I think that, and I don't know if it's ever come down. There's been rumors that, at least in the past, there were conditional first round picks. I have one conditional pick, but the deal being that being a lot of times the team has to get to the finals, right?
Yeah,
and that's you know, otherwise you're getting a second round pick, and you're probably going to get a second round pick because only one team in the conference is going to make the finals. So it can sound great on paper, but obviously it's never worked out that way to where it's been an offer that the Flyers considered to be the right one. He could certainly get moved, but you're losing the leadership piece. You're losing the guy who he is the first guy who embraces anybody who's new in the locker room. Can you replace it? Yeah, you can. But that's something else that he brings to the mix, right? He's equally comfortable playing left wing or center. Look at all the shorthanded points. A lot largely through assists on Konechny goals last year. But he's a very good weapon on the PK. He'll be, do a little bit of streaky scoring. Never going to be a big scorer. But he brings up intensity, physical edge, all the things in Scott Laughton's game that he brings. The other teams want. The Flyers have to figure, okay, what is the replacement cost and what's the value? Could this be the year where he's moved? Sure. But we've been saying that for several years here.
Yeah.
I think that it gets to a point where you have to figure out, is he going to be, to me, the bigger things then is he going to stay at center, or do they maybe move Noah Cates back to center?
Yeah.
You know, is he going to play wing? Is he going to be third line, or end up eventually the fourth line if they want to see more Paling? So those kind of things I think are questions going in. And if he's having a successful year, maybe you do get an offer where, you know, you're a seller at the deadline, and okay, the time is right to make that move. Maybe that comes.
Well, I can make the case for so many teams in the Eastern Conference that would love to have him. You know, I look at teams like Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit that haven't been playoff teams that could use a player like Scott Laughton. I look at teams like he would always fit on like a Boston team, yeah. Or always. I could see him making a lot of sense. I'll go back to Elliot Friedman again in his 32 Thoughts column. He mentioned that the Maple Leafs will be looking for left wingers. That's the kind of player the Leafs need. It is a guy that brings a lot of intangibles, gives you some versatility by position, kills penalties, a lot of character. That may be a team to look out for. Obviously, he's from the area as well. So not that that's the reason why they would go after him, but you can make the case that Scott Laughton fits on about 30, 31 other hockey teams besides the Flyers. He'll fit anywhere. So we'll see if that does come to fruition. But again, you got to look at what you're losing and, you know, what you're gaining. And if you're gaining a conditional second round pick, it's sometimes that's not really worth it when you're still trying to solidify culture here as well. Bill, great stuff. The next time we talk, it'll be September, if you can believe it. And we're getting closer to camp and getting closer to rookie games and training camp and preseason and all of it, and regular season around the corner as well. Check out Bill's work on PhiladelphiaFlyers.com, NHL.com, and HockeyBuzz.com. And we'll talk to you Wednesday on a brand new Flyers Daily.